Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Joining us right now, I've collected change over this week, and I will pay him that for joining me again. So 45 cents is what he'll earn. And that, of course, is the voice of NBA radio on Sirius XM. He's so good. You know what my dad asked me last week? He said, you always say this guy's on Sirius XM NBA radio. What time is he on? Maybe I want to listen to him. And I said, Dad, he's on when I'm on. You're going to shut me off and listen to him? He said, maybe. And that is Justin Termini. Hi, Justin. How are you?
I'm doing well. Yeah, I'm looking forward to the 45 cents because it's more than Sirius is compensating me these days.
So. I can imagine. A couple of things. Let's get to the latest with Silver and this league resuming. Now I got a lot of historical stuff to talk to you about. What do you take out of Adam Silver's conversation with the union, with the players? Does it add confidence? Does it make you more pessimistic? What's kind of your feeling on what you heard between Silver and the players yesterday?
Well, I don't know about your take on this, but it seems to me like it makes me more confident that the season is going to conclude because it seems like they're going to do everything in their power to finish this thing out, whether it's like finishing in October, right, and then pushing back next season. In regards to like the logistics of being able to do that, though, I mean, look at what they're going through just to get guys into practice, right, where you got to stand 12 feet away from each other. It's like one guy per basket. You got to take guys' temperatures. We're going to – like, so that's just trying to get like one or two individuals into a practice facility, and then you're telling me on top of that we got to get thousands of people in one location so we can have like a 3 month long season or playoffs play out. It just seems unrealistic in that regard. But if they're willing to push it, you know, the end of the season till October, I would assume that we're going to crown a champion for the season.
Yeah, and you know what else? I think that they, and I get it from a business model perspective, they really want fans in the seats. So they're thinking about the following year, and they realize the further they push back the start of next season, the greater the chance is there are people in the seats. So even if it means starting the year in January and having the calendar not end till August or September, I get the sense that to them, it's worth it because they really need people in the seats or otherwise economically, they're going to take a monstrous hit. And I think that's another reason why they're going to be so willing to push back the conclusion of this season to crown a champion, because I think they know, hey, we need people in the seats. We'll push back the start of next year till January if we have to.
Yeah, I mean, first of all your money is coming from the postseason, right? I mean, that's where your bread and butter is. It's not with like a game in February. So they want to fit the rest of this season in for that reason. And then you mentioned they want guys in the seats for next year, because I think the number that came out yesterday is Adam Silver telling these players that 40% of the revenue for the league comes from people in the seats, people actually going to these games. And the players are going to be willing to do whatever they can because, let's be honest, like their careers are very short. And all right, maybe a LeBron can afford, not from a legacy perspective, like he wants the ability to win another championship, but like a LeBron, a Chris Paul, guys pulling in that type of money, all right, they can maybe lose out on a couple of million dollars. But guys that are living almost paycheck to paycheck or just making a couple of million, and they're going to have like 4 or 5 year careers, they need to get as much money as they possibly can.
Yeah. Are you, when you look at the potential of a playoff, and Silver mentioned, ideally they want to go best of seven throughout. They want to keep the same format. How would you look at this postseason if they said, you know what, we're going best of three in the first round, we're going best of five in the second round? How stagnant are you? I don't even think that's the right word.
I'm not expecting much with you, but
How tough are you? At least I corrected myself. I stopped myself.
That's a big word. Wow, you changed it to tough. Oh, my God.
I've abandoned ship on using the word I was thinking of because I can't
think
of it.
You couldn't work it serious. I mean, CBS, FAN, they have less standards for you and your lexicon. My God.
You got to at least respect the fact that I admitted it. I could have just gone on and acted like that was the right word. And just, you know, made you think.
Oh, so now you want credit for not being able to use big words. Oh, Evan, you're so fantastic. Oh, what a humble host. Oh, my.
Well, anyhow, you get the idea of the question. What's your answer?
Yeah. I forgot the question.
Okay, so I'm going to try this again.
I got it. I got it. All right. The postseason. All right. I have no issue if you want to make the first round best of five, best of three. Like, listen, back in 2003, right, we saw best of five. I mean, as recently as that point. So I have no issue if you want to do that for the first couple of rounds. But you better make sure that the conference finals and the NBA finals are best of seven. So I feel like you can do whatever you want in the first couple of rounds. Once we get to conference finals, I need best of seven conference finals, best of the seven NBA finals, or else I'll say it's an illegitimate champ. I'll have an asterisk next to it.
Wow. JT throwing out the asterisk. All right. Here's my question about NBA history, because I've had this discussion a lot, especially with NFL quarterbacks and NBA players. The story of LeBron James is not concluded yet. You know, you talk about his legacy. It's not over yet. Guy could still win five more championships. Guy may not win another NBA championship. In your mind, and you've got a lot of guys up there, Kareem, Wilt, Michael, Bird, Magic, Jerry West, a lot of guys can claim, or you can believe, is the greatest of all time. What would LeBron need to do to move up that ladder even further to where even you, Justin Termini, would say, you know what? I think this guy's the greatest of all time.
Yeah, I don't think that I would say he's the greatest of all time, but like the argument can continue to build if he just gives you the individual number. All right, he's the all-time scoring leader. All right, he's like top five in assists, which is all stuff that is possible, especially when he plays five or six more years, and it doesn't look like he's slowing down right now. Like, that's the stuff you would need to do. Obviously, you want to win a couple of more championships. Like, one of the knocks against, like my knock against him, right, is that you look at what he did in 2011, and you take all the other players that you want to have in that argument of greatest of all time, whether it's Jordan, whether it's Bird, whether it's Magic, you know, whether any of those guys, and you throw them on that Miami Heat team, they're not, you know, they're winning that championship because that Dallas team was just average at that. That was not a great champion, right? So they're not. So out of all the all-time greats, he might have the highest of the highs, like he might have the peak, but he also has the lowest of the lows. And don't forget in 2014 as well, when they won that championship, he's with Dwayne Wade, who wants to fancy himself, even though he's not, he wants to fancy himself, you know, the third best two guard in the history of the game. Plus, he's with Chris Bosh, who wants to put himself into the Hall of Fame, as he was complaining this past offseason when he didn't get in. Like, those are two legitimate players, and they still lost by a combined 70 points in the 2014 NBA Finals to a San Antonio team. So he's got two of the more humiliating losses in NBA Finals history. But, yeah, I mean, it's based on the numbers. It's not going to be based on and it's based on the longevity. It's not based on the prime. I could list off five or six guys who have had better primes than LeBron James.
So it's so in your mind, and I get it because we were talking about this earlier with the Dallas series, especially with the way he melted down personally, not just losing that series to a Maverick team that is not an all-time great team, but he was terrible in the series. I mean, D-Wade was their best player, and we all remember how LeBron wilted. That is so much to overcome that for many out there, yourself included, there ain't a damn thing he can do statistically or championship-wise that's going to erase that feeling that these other legends never had.
Yeah, I mean, he got outscored by Jason Terry. Let's be honest. I mean, at the age of like 25, 26 years of age. I mean, that's not happening to these other guys. And they've had low points. Like, if you want to say, the only guys on the big stage, like out of the all-time greats that haven't melted down, I think, are Jordan. We never saw that in the final stage with him where he just had a complete meltdown. We never saw it with Bird, and we never saw it with Russell. Like, we saw it with Wilt. I mean, they played the game last night. Game 7 in 1970 against Willis Reed. He's afraid because Willis goes out there on the court. I mean, he melted. He melted in 69, when he wasn't on the court for the final 5 minutes with an apparent leg injury, and Russell outplayed him in his final year. So, like, he melted down. He had Tragic Johnson in 84. So other guys have, like, melted down in big spots, but I don't think anybody like LeBron there in 2011.
And I talked about this earlier. We live in such a different world now with social media and radio shows and TV shows everywhere. Could you imagine Wilt Chamberlain? And I'm not talking about the escapades. I'm not talking about his love life. But Will Chamberlain dealing with the criticism that he would have faced, not only is he losing a ton of NBA finals, not only can he not get past Boston, but you mentioned two specific things. Injured in 69, basically Willis Reed scares him. He sees Willis jog out there. Can you imagine the criticism despite all the gaudy numbers he put up that Wilt would have faced throughout his career?
Yeah, I mean, maybe the closest you can think to it is like James Harden, where he's putting up all these amazing numbers, and then he gets into the postseason, and he melts, and then he takes a little criticism, and Daryl Morey still wants to call him the greatest offensive player that ever lived. Like, maybe that's the closest that you get to it, but obviously Harden's not in Wilt's category, but I guess that would be, you know, give you maybe a glimpse.
Well, even, and I'll bring this guy up because I think this guy is incredibly underrated. You've talked about him a lot, and that's Jerry West. I mean, Jerry West is one of the greatest of all time, but he lost 8 NBA finals. Now, he lost to great teams, there's no doubt, and I understand that, but what do you think he would have faced in this modern time being 1-8 in the NBA finals?
Yeah, and I think you also have to look at, like, the performances, right? Like, you can look at Wilt and go, all right, well, here's a situation where he melted and didn't live up to it. I mean, with Jerry West, it's going to be, what else did you want Jerry West to do? Literally, like, what? Like, as you look at how he performed, I mean, is it his? He scored 42. He had a 42-point triple-double in Game 7 of 1969 against the Celtics. Wilt didn't step up. You know, Elgin Baylor didn't step up. He didn't get Don Nelson gets a lucky bounce on a shot. Like, I think if you, like, look at the context of it, and even players back then, if you go back and you read, like, old Sports Illustrated articles, which is a good way to learn about the history, right?
Sure.
And they'll always have, like, Bill Russell afterwards or John Havlicek afterwards going, well, the guy I felt bad for was Jerry West. He's the best player in the game. So, like, the peers were actually, you know, defending and speaking up for Jerry West. They wouldn't do the same for Wilt Chamberlain. Like, they would criticize Wilt.
Right. But in fairness, and I know it's very mixed throughout his career, LeBron had stuff like that. I mean, when you look at the surrounding cast that he had in 2007, and I think one of the most impressive things was just beating the Pistons the way he did in some of the individual performances. But look at the roster around him then, or even when he went back to Cleveland and Kyrie Irving is hurt and Kevin Love is hurt. So it wasn't as consistent, clearly, as West, but there were certainly a lot of moments where I think we thought that about LeBron too, where we just say, hey, what more can this guy do when you look what's around him?
Well, yeah, I think it's gotten to the point where now it's like, all right, he made 8 consecutive finals, and like LeBron is like praised for that, right? And Jerry West wasn't necessarily praised for getting to the NBA finals. LeBron is praised for getting, even though the Eastern Conference is an absolute joke. And why does LeBron get credit in 2007? And again, now he dragged a bad team to the NBA finals, but why does he get credit for that? Well, Hakeem Olajuwon doesn't get credit maybe in 94 for taking a supporting cast that wasn't fantastic. He actually won the championship, or Iverson in 2001. Look at that supporting cast that he had. It wasn't spectacular, and he made the NBA final. People don't talk about that nearly as much as like LeBron. It's like LeBron won the championship in 2007, the way people talk about it.
Well, but I, you know, in fairness, though, I do think people talk about that achievement that Allen Iverson had. I mean, I don't think that kind of stuff is ignored and how impressive that was.
How about Rick Barry in 1975? What was his?
Well, Rick Barry,
he actually
JT,
won the championship.
I don't know the reason for this, and we had Rick Barry on earlier this week. I know you've probably had him on a million times. For whatever reason, maybe it's his personality, I don't know, he's one of the most underrated guys in the history of the sport. I mean, I know you tweeted about it, and we brought it up to him, how they had that Mount Rushmore idea, and Rick Barry wasn't even an option. He wasn't even, he had Melo as an option, but not Rick Barry.
No, they listed, they did the top 10 Warriors on, the Golden State Warriors sent this out, I think, like a couple, no, ESPN did, where they had the top 10 Warriors of all time, and Rick Barry wasn't one of the top 10, when Rick Barry's one of the top 20 players in NBA history, never mind, you know, Golden State Warriors. And you're right, I my four most underrated players in the history of the sport, Rick is one, Moses Malone is another, Havlicek is another, and Walt Frazier is a Nick, and you're broadcasting to the FAN crowd. Like, those are the four most underrated players in history. I think he's better than Dr. J.
Wow. Well, I'll tell you a guy who I think is underrated, but maybe your argument will be, no, Evan, he's rated fine, and that's Tim Duncan. It just feels as if he's not appreciated as much as maybe some other superstars of this era. When you look at the 5 championships and you look at the 3 finals MVPs, and he won 2 regular season MVPs, and even though one of them he shouldn't have won, Jason Kidd should have won that, but that's a story for another day. It feels like Duncan is very underrated, especially in this era.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm talking to, like, the basketball experts nonstop, right? Not just like the, you know, right. on NBA radio, because that's our focus. I'm not talking to the generic fan. And here's what I would say. I rank him eighth all time. Like, I think there's a big gap between him and the first seven, because I don't think you can argue Duncan is the greatest player of all time. But the seven guys I have ahead of him, I think you can all argue are the greatest player of all time. But here's where he's underrated, is I think it's pretty clear cut that he's better than Kobe. And a lot of people will say Kobe is better. No, I would say Duncan's
better.
Kobe.
Duncan's better.
I agree.
Yes, I totally agree. We're talking to Justin Termini. All right, I know that you're going to scoff at this question, but a caller called up earlier, and he said, hey, if you're starting a team, who would you pick, Larry Bird or Kevin Durant? What would your answer be?
Oh, my God. And that's one of the, like, Bird's almost becoming underrated because he touches every, what people don't understand is he, and people throw that argument out there all the time. It's not the first time I heard it.
Right.
Bird touches every aspect of the offensive game. Durant touches one aspect of the offensive game, whereas Bird's going to make people better. And speaking of Rick Barry, all right, I had this argument with Barry several years ago where he is claiming, like, from an offensive perspective, I would take Larry Bird and Magic Johnson ahead of Michael Jordan from an offensive perspective, because if you take the, you know, if you just take a random four guys and you put four random guys with Jordan, four random guys with Bird, and four random guys with Magic, I think Magic and Bird's teams win because they're going to make everybody better. They're going to, you know, people are going to cut harder. They're going to be involved in the defense more because they're more excited with their role in the offense. So it's not close. Durant is not in the game. Bird's one of the great passers of all time. Durant doesn't, you know, he's not a great passer.
What?
He's a better Bird's a better rebounder despite being 3 inches shorter.
What would, and obviously this is very personal for me because I want to see my team win a championship. What would winning with the Nets do for Durant's legacy as far as how far up the list could he move? I'm not suggesting he's ever passing Larry Bird or passing anybody in the top five or six. But the Nets have won nothing in their history. He's clearly the top guy. He's coming off an Achilles injury. If he wins once or twice with the Nets as the clear leading guy, what does that do for his legacy in your mind?
No, I mean, it skyrockets it because right now, in my estimate, he's got zero championships, right? I mean, Walt Frazier said it a couple of years ago where he said he's got asterisks next to his championships in Golden State. I mean,
even though he was the best player, even though he was the finals MVP, you don't give him at all any credit for that.
Well, he won one Finals MVP. I don't think he deserved both Finals MVPs. You know, the one year where Steph was really bad in Game 3 and Durant was great with like 40 plus points, but then Steph was the best player in the other three games that Golden State
right.
won. I don't think he was the MVP that year, and I don't necessarily think he was the best player on those teams either. I think he put up the best numbers, but the reason those offenses clicked is because of what Steph did in regards to like moving the basketball and drawing the defenses, etc. But yeah, I mean, you put asterisks next to those titles. I mean, they were one where he joined a team that was already a juggernaut. They had won 73 regular season games and already won a championship and joined them. So yeah, he doesn't have any championships in my
wow.
estimation right now.
So winning.
What did you say to this caller?
I said Burke. I actually said, well, the thing is, I also said, and this is the story with Durant and LeBron, their story hasn't been fully written yet, especially in Kevin Durant's case, because of what you just said. A lot of people view him as a guy that's been a one true NBA Finals, and they lost in five. The Warrior thing to a lot of fans, and you just said it, is this giant asterisk because he joined this great team. Winning with the Nets, and I don't just say that because I'm a Net fan. Obviously, I'd build a man a statue if he won with my team. But winning with the Nets goes a long way. It goes a long way to what people view him as. And I don't know if he's going to do it. My gut says no, because why would I be positive? But for him, the story hasn't been written yet on where he can leave his NBA legacy.
Yeah, and I've gotten into it a couple of times with Durant in regards to what he did in going to Golden State. What he needs to understand is, like, it may sound like I'm bad-mouthing him right now. The reason I'm so critical of him is because I think he's one of the greatest players of all time. Like, I don't really get on some other, like, DeMarcus Cousins. I didn't care that he went to Golden State because who cares? It's DeMarcus Cousins, right? They're like, he's not an all-time great. You get on Durant because your expectation is he's an all-time great. I mean, I think he's one of the top 10 to 20 talents that's ever played the game. But now he's got to go out and execute it and prove it.
But doesn't it make you feel good that he went from joining this 70-plus win team to joining the freaking Nets? Kyrie or not, I mean, you got to go and give him a little bit of credit. He joined the Nets. The Nets, JT.
I'll root for him again. Yeah, I'll root for him again in Brooklyn. I wasn't rooting for him in Golden State. I loved the rest of that Warriors team, but I didn't like the movie made. Now I'll go back to being a Kevin Durant fan. And if he can win with Kyrie Irving, that puts him up. Because that might be the greatest argument that LeBron has as the greatest player of all time, is I won a championship with Kyrie Irving as my second best player. I mean, because that, I can tell you one thing. The other all-time greats, you know, Bird needed McHale, Magic needed Kareem, Kareem needed Magic. Jordan needed Scottie Pippen. All those guys are much better than Kyrie Irving as your second best player.
You're the best. JT, good talking to you, my friend. Stay safe.
Yeah, same with you. Talk to you next week.
Justin, he's already assuming. He's made the assumption. I'm back for another 45 cents. Justin Termini does a great job on SiriusXM NBA Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.